We're in Sefer Chovos HaLevavot, we're in Shaar B'Tachon, still in the introduction, and we're going through the 10 benefits that a person has in having B'Tachon by contrasting it with other types of profession which are taken in an unhealthy way, and then how having trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person will have a better level of existence. Number 4. Amana Kimia Be'echreach Otze Achaz Mishteile. או שהוא מכין כסף וזהב הרבה, כדי שיהיה מוכן בידו לעת הצורך, או שהוא מכין ממנו רק מעט, כדי צורכו לזמן קצר. ואיך שלא יעשה, הוא יהיה שרוי תמיד בדאגה ופחד. אם הוא מוכין כסף וזהב הרבה, הוא מפחד כל ימיו שלא יאבד ממנו רכושו, על ידי סיבות שונות שיכולות לגרום זאת, וליבו לא שקט, ואין לנפשו מנוחה, בגלל הפחד שיש לו מהמלך והעם עלולים להוציא מידו את רכושו. A person who works in a regular industry, and he has two choices. He could either invest a lot, have a lot of stock, always have a background, but then, depending on what industry he's in, he's also going to have the concern of taking care of it, that it shouldn't go rotten, that it shouldn't go off, that it shouldn't get stolen, that he's got a lot of stock, but he's always ensuring that he has to protect it. People spend so much money on stupid things, like security guards and cameras, and that's nothing to do with the business. They're spending money on fences and ensuring that their computers are safe and all those things. They haven't started anything. It's ensuring it's not going to be stolen, it's not going to go off. Preservatives, they have to spend money on preservatives to ensure that they remain fresh and with their food. They always have this concern that what I have already shouldn't get ruined. That's one option. Or they have the other option, they can always just produce from day to day. They don't have stock, they don't keep things in the warehouses. ואם הוא מוכין, ואם הוא לא מוכין מראש, אלא כדי למלא חסרונות מזמן מועד, then he has another huge concern. So how does he know he's going to have enough time? Especially, this is especially true for people who work in perishables. Like if someone has a makolet, then they're always in this constant debate of like how much to order. If I order too many vegetables or too much bread, and not enough people buy it, it's going to go rotten and I'm going to have to throw it away. If I order too little, then I'm not going to have the right amount that people need, and then people will stop coming to my shop because they always say he never has. And there's this constant tension of how much to have, how much not to have. So if a person is in any industry where they're not buying enough because they don't want to have to spend more and then not be able to sell it on afterwards, then he's got a concern. That's someone who works in an industry. So someone who works in an industry, they don't have bitachon on Hashem, they have a talk on in the industry. Like all of these things, I just want to emphasize it again and again. We're not saying these things are bad to work in an industry. And we're not debating whether it's better to buy a lot of stock or whether to buy for the day. That's not relevant. What's relevant is if you do that without trust in Hashem, you're always going to be concerned. If you do these things, whichever way you do, you're going to be in trouble. You're always going to be concerned. Maybe I won't be able to sell all the produce that I have. And this was last season, and no one's buying last season's. Now it's too late, and I'm stuck with all this stock. Or I'm not going to have enough to produce. They're going to phone me one day and order a big amount, and I won't be able to give it in time. That's someone who doesn't have trust in Hashem. He has trust in his business. He's always going to be anxious and nervous and worried about that topic. But someone who has trust in Hashem, bitchono chozak be'elokav, she'yifarnes otok ritzono, bizman she'yirtzeh, b'makom she'yirtzeh, he does whatever is normal in the market. He does whatever is logical and normal and reasonable. He puts in his regular hishtadlut. So I don't know which way it's going to be, whether it's going to be a small amount in day-to-day or whether it's going to be a large amount in stocks, but he does whatever is considered logical and normal. But then he's fine. He's not living on edge. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? I won't be able to produce. I will be able to produce. It's going to go rotten. It's going to go off. We'll be able to sell it. He's not like having sleepless nights of what if the market suddenly changes and this product is not interesting. People aren't interested anymore and everyone's upset with it. What else is going to happen? He doesn't live with that tension. Externally he's the same. He's still ordering the same amount as the guy next door who doesn't trust in Hashem. Externally he's the same. But internally he has an inner peace, a tranquility, a calmness. Because he says, I'm putting in a shtadlut. At any given time I'm doing what seems logical in this situation. I take advice from people who know the business market very well and I'll do what they say because it's the best advice that I can get. I'm putting in a shtadlut. But I don't have to have an anxiety about it. I feel calm. Bitchono chazak. He has a great trust in Hashem. That in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for a baby in the womb, and the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for a chick to be able to grow inside an egg, she'ein ba petach shedarko efshar lachnis mashu lefroch mibachut, kemo shemefarnes ta'of ba'avir v'tadagim v'mayim. Hashem has a good track record. He's providing for the birds, he's providing for the fish, he's providing for the namalah, and each have very, very different ways of eating. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides each type of animal, insect, bird, fish, with what they need, the environment they need, they can get their food and their sustenance. and therefore they can be calm, so they know they have what HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides them. Lamrot shen lefamim ha'arim mechusar mazon. Sometimes you have that, a lion which is the strongest and he goes hungry. So the fact that a person is stronger doesn't mean it's guaranteed. Meaning, the fact that a person has more security and more security guards and more fences and more doesn't mean there's a guarantee that it's going to be okay. And while you're putting in all your trust into external things, you could still be nervous. As the Pasuk says, Kafirim Rashu Vara'evu, those who are lying, God, they're still going hungry. They're calling out, they're going hungry. Even though they're lions, therefore they're very strong, because they don't have Hashem. But Dorshe Hashem, Lo Yochsru Kol Tavav. Someone trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't be lacking. Well, what do you mean he won't be lacking? He won't be lacking, maybe he's hungry. But when he's hungry, he knows it's from Hashem, it doesn't bother him. He knows this is exactly what's right for me at any given time. So he has a calmness. He may be lacking food, but he's not lacking tranquility, serenity. Shneimar Lo Yariv Hashem Nefesh Tzadik, Na'ar Hayiti Gam Zakanti Velo Hayiti Tzadik Ne'ezav. That was point number four. That a person who works in any business is always going to have a tension of how much, too little, too much, be able to provide, not be able to provide. A person who is in Betachon Hashem will do whatever is normal, and then he's calm. Number five. Umana kemia yare mefached mikol achad migadol v'ad katan shebam, shelo yigalu melachto leshultanot. Feilu batach velokim gam b'nei adam hachashuvim hanechvadim v'yotei mefachdim imenu, ve'af achayot v'avanim mishtokakim lasot et rutsono. So this is talking about something very specific, which is not a good thing to learn from. This is talking about a person who in his business does things that aren't legit all the way. That's not something to learn from. But if there will be a person who is not fully legitimate in his business, and with taxes is not revealing everything, and he buys a computer, and he writes it under the name of his company so that he can get a tax refund that he actually uses it for his house, something like that. So those things he shouldn't be doing to begin with. But if he does them, then the moment he starts doing them, then he's always going to be nervous. Will they catch me? Will they send the tax man to my house and start having to go through a whole record of all my accounts and start asking, you said you bought this, where is it? You bought this, where is it? And I, in the meantime, didn't use it for this. I bought it for something else, and it's not officially on the board. So someone who's not fully legit, then he has other issues in his mind because of that. But as well as that, he's going to be living a life constantly. Are they going to catch me? Are they going to go find out? He's not reporting everything the way he needs to. But someone has trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first of all, he's legitimate. Because someone has trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do things according to Halacha. To begin with. He'll never do anything which is inappropriate. But he's never scared of, like, something might happen and someone might catch me, and he's doing everything according to Halacha. And he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything. And if it would happen that something would happen to him, someone would reveal that his business is not legitimate and they would say it's against the law or something, he would say, okay, I'll move to something else. I was only doing this because this is what I believe to be the right path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from me at this given time. If it's not, it's not. And then he moves on. Hayitirin ha-shishi. Sh'omana kemi ha'inu batuach sh'lo yavou alav machalot ke'evim sh'yashbitu imenu t'asimcha sh'yesh lo me'oshro. V'lo yitnu lo le'anot ima sh'yesh lo. V'litaneg al ma sh'ala b'yado la'asik. Someone who's working in any business where he's trusting in his business, even if he's successful in his business, there may be other factors that will come in that will hold him back from benefiting from it. There may be external things like wars that take place, there may be internal things like a sickness that takes place, and it could be that he'll be a successful business and very wealthy, everything's going smooth, but technically he's not able to get any benefit from it because it was all, he wasn't able to benefit from it because external things came. A person whose whole success in life is his business. You see this, and it's unfortunate, there are people who work in the world, and they have a good life, and they work well, they're happy emotionally and physically and successful in every area, and they reach retirement age, and they retire, and they start dwindling very quickly. They start withering away, and they're not happy, and they're depressed, and they don't know what to do with themselves, they do this, and they start complaining, and within that 2-3 years they get sick and they die. And it's a common thing that happens. People who retire, they wither away. Because when they were alive, they were alive. When they were working, they had a central force that kept them going, which was either money or the job they were doing, either way. Right? Either it was the money they liked earning or it was their role and their position in the company, whatever it was. My uncle works in some firm in America. He told me, and he's reached roughly that age, and he told me that he sees that all the people who are in the same position as him retire, and they think that's how we're going to have a good life now. And they spend a year cruising, going on cruises and going away for vacations and doing all these things. And then after a year, they're totally bored. And he says all of his friends that he's seen in that category have either come back to the company they were in and got their job back and carried on, or they've become advisors in that same field, where they give advice in that same like field that they had expertise in. Because for them, it wasn't a job for the sake of money. It was a job for the sake of chiyuv. That was what their definition was of who they were. And when they don't have that definition of who they are anymore, then what's their life worth? And if they don't do that, then they don't have this sense of meaning and purpose in life, and they start withering away. Now, for someone like Bitachon HaKadosh Baruch, well, the job was never his definition of himself. His business was never his definition of who he defined himself to be. Even if he was very successful in something, and he was happy that he had the ability to grant other people, let's say he's a doctor, and he's healing lives, let's say he's an educator, and he's teaching people. Whatever field he's in, if he's doing some good in the world, and it gives him sifuk, it gives him a sense of satisfaction, and he's happy that he's doing it, so he's very happy as long as he's doing it, because he sees it as what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for him at this stage in life. And then if that's taken away for whatever reason, he's not able to continue, then he says, okay, I have a new mission. I thought my mission was in this particular area to continue. I see that it's not. And he finds a new area of meaning of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because his trust in Hashem doesn't limit him to this particular area. There was a Rebbetzin in England called Rebbetzin Ilana Rosenblatt, the wife of Saul Shaul Rosenblatt. Anyone knows her? So she was, she got married at age 19. She had four kids. They founded Aish UK, Aish HaTorah in England, and very, very successful. And then she got cancer. And it was like 2-3 years until she eventually passed away. I didn't know her at all, but I was a Madrich on Aish HaTorah, so I was following the story a lot. Because a lot of my contemporaries from Aish HaTorah had been, like the Chanachim, they had been inspired by them, so like I knew the name. And it happened to be that I didn't go back to England very much when I was in Yeshiva, but when I was in Shana Bet, I went back for 4 days, and those 4 days was the days of her Levaya and the beginning of the Shiva. No, 2 weeks. Shana Bet, I went back. So something amazing about her was this concept that she gave over. She said, when I was functioning well, then I saw my life's mission as inspiring people as being through being a Kiruv Rebbetzin. And that was Hashem's role for me then. He said, now I have cancer, and I see my life's mission as showing people they can still have faith in Hashem, even when they have suffering. And she put so much into this mission of hers. She gave shiurim, and she was giving, she was writing. They have a diary published of her. They have shiurim, you can probably listen to it somewhere, ishatorah.com, I'm sure you can hear it, Ilana Rosenblatt. And she made this her mission. And for the last 2 years of her life, that was her message and her mission throughout the world. It's an amazing concept. That's bitachon in Hashem. When you define, my mission is to be a Kiruv Rebbetzin, and then it goes wrong, you're like, Hashem, what are you doing? You made a mistake. I had a mission, I had a vision I was going to build. But if you have bitachon in Hashem, you say, Hashem, in any situation that you give me, I will understand that's your mission for me, because I trust you, you're always doing what's best. So now that you've changed my role, I will make my role the best in this particular position. There's one anecdote that in the funeral, her husband spoke. It was very strange because the kids were there and they were young and they were playing. They were like playing in the funeral. And it was like very weird, like they didn't understand exactly what was going on. It was like very strange, and it was like a very, very emotional. Like seeing kids being kids and still being normal and kids and not realizing like the tragedy that's taking place there. So Rochelle Rosenblatt said, he said it through tears and through laughter. He said that, I asked Ilana if there's any message that she wants me to give and say her hesped. So that's a hard thing to ask. This was already the stage where it was very advanced. So she said, there was one thing that she asked me to say. She said, because most of the people there in Aish HaTorah weren't from, and they were a community, a Kiruv community. So she said, my life's mission was to help people discover Hashem, and was to help people recognize the truth of Hashem and come close to Hashem and become frum. So she said, that was my mission in life, and that will be continued to be my mission after death. And therefore, if anyone in this room doesn't become frum, I will come back to haunt them. And that was her message that she said to him to say, and he said it at the funeral. And he was laughing and crying at the same time. It was very, very emotional. So bitachon Hashem, point number five was that if you have, sorry, point number six was that if you have bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then even if things go wrong, even if there's a sickness, it doesn't hold you back in any way. Because your whole mission in life is to do the will of Hashem. That was always your mission in life. You never pinpointed a mission in life other than the will of Hashem. So temporarily you say, it seems to me that with the skills that I have now, my mission Hashem is to be learning Torah in yeshiva and most successful that I can be. That's what it seems to me. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any point changes my life's mission in a way that's out of my control, I will recognize that's what Hashem wants from me now. There's no question. Hashem, I was doing good. Why are you punishing me? It's not a punishment. Hashem has one role for you, and then he has a different role for you. And your mission in life is always to accept the role that Hashem gives you. Always to make a wise decision. What seems to me like the best thing to do that will make a kiddush Hashem in the world at this moment, and then do the best in that area. And if it suddenly changes, okay? So I thought it was that, and it was that until now. But now there's a different mission and a different purpose. There was a family nearby here in Beit Chilkiya. Everyone's been on the 451 bus, you've been to Beit Chilkiya. There's next to Yad Binyamin, next to Yusadot. Anyway, there's a place called Beit Chilkiya. There's a family who had a car, and it was on Shabbos, and someone came to steal their car. And there was nothing they could do. Like, it was taking him time, and they were watching. There was nothing they could do, because it's not Pikuach Nefesh. You can't phone the police. They tried stopping him, but he had a weapon, so they weren't going to mess with him. They couldn't phone the police. They were just there, and he was stealing the car, and there's nothing they could do. So when the kids came home, the kids were very shaken by it all. Like, oh, what happened to our car? What happened to our car? The mother said this amazing line. And this line, I mean, this could have been a big blow to their betochen and Hashem. If you would have answered that situation wrong, then it would cause the children not to have a healthy, true recognition of how Hashem runs the world. But if you ask that question well, when the kids ask, like, how could this happen? Like, we're good from people, and because we're keeping Shabbos, we're losing our car. If we wouldn't keep Shabbos, they wouldn't. Like, how are you going to answer that? If you answer that well, then that will imbue bitachon in the children. And if not, not. The mother said, we had the car for 9 years. For 9 years, Hashem determined that it was supposed to be our car. Now Hashem determined that it's supposed to be someone else's car. So that was the shaliach of Hashem that took it to the next owner that has to be using it. We had good usage out of it, now it's going to the next owner. That's an amazing answer. If it's something which is in your control, you don't say that. You take action. Now, you don't say, oh, there's a thief. Oh, it must be Hashem's decided that it's got a new owner. No. Then you say stop, and you phone the police, and you do whatever you can to stop it. Because it's within your hishtadlut. But once it's out of your control, and you're looking at it from the outside, and you're saying, like, why did this happen? Then the truth of the matter is that Hashem arranges situations from your perspective, not from the Ganon's perspective, but from your perspective, that Hashem arranges a situation where it's no longer yours. So it's a true, real answer. Hashem determined that we were supposed to have this car for this amount of time, and Hashem determined now it's no longer supposed to be ours, it's supposed to be someone else. So from the kid's perspective, nothing went wrong here. If you can stop it, you stop it. But if you can't stop it, nothing went wrong. This was Hashem's plan. And that imbued in them bitachon. Okay? If they had insurance, they would claim insurance. They wouldn't say, it's not, you know, we're not. But you do everything you can do, of course. But what a calmness in their home. And amazing. Hashem gave us the car for 9 years, and Hashem said that it's not supposed to be ours anymore, so it moved on. Okay, great. That's how it works. Fine. We wouldn't have planned it that way. We didn't know it was the end of our usage of the car. But Hashem arranged it, that it would come and go. If the children would continue to ask and said, does that mean the Ganav did a good thing? The parents would answer, no. And no. Hashem could have got the car to go to someone else in a more healthy way. But this person chose to do a bad thing, and therefore Hashem determined this car would go to a new owner through someone doing an Avera, and he's going to get punished in Shemayim for doing that Avera if he doesn't do Tshuva. That was his choice. He had a choice. But the fact that the car left us, that had to happen. That was the time. From a Bitachon perspective, that had to happen. The fact that it happened through him was his choice, and he's going to be held accountable. The fact that it had to go now, that wasn't his choice. That was Hashem's choice. Fantastic. Bitachon on Hashem. Ve'ilu abatech ba'Hashem, batuach hu shelo yavo alav machalot, ve'im betor, meaning he's sure that machalot won't come to him for no reason. Im lo betor kapara, or kadei lagdil tzcharo. If he does have suffering, then he doesn't know exactly why it's happening, but he's sure it's for a good reason. It's not a mistake. Either it's coming to him because it's cleansing him, or it's coming to him to give him more rewards. In the case of Elana Rosenblatt, she saw it was coming to give her a new opportunity to teach Gadlut Hashem. She saw it as an opportunity for her to teach the world how to trust in Hashem through suffering. For her, it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a problem. It was a new mission. That's how she saw it, accepted it, and that's what she did with it. The Koveh Hashem Yachalifu Koya. Koveh, from the word tikva, there's a trust in Hashem. Yachalifu Koya. Their strength renews and changes the whole time. Koveh Hashem Yachalifu Koya. I'm not limited to having strength to serve Hashem only in the way I determine. Well, I can choose how to serve Hashem. He chooses how I serve Him. If Hashem decides I'm going to serve Hashem one way, I'll do it. Someone trusts in Hashem, he can renew his strength in a new situation. I'm not bound to one way. You can say that if you're ever in a situation where you wanted one thing to happen and it didn't happen the way you wanted it and you're frustrated, say this pasuk. Those who trust in Hashem, they can renew their strength. I'm not bound by that way having to be my way. If I didn't have strength this way, I'll have strength another way. I had a plan. The whole plan went pifer, all lost the whole thing. Okay, so Hashem determined that answer was no. Is it a waste that I invested in that? Not necessarily. If I was doing normal ishtadlut, and that seemed to be the right path to take, then it was good that I put in the effort. And I will get reward and life experience from the effort that I put in, even if there's no result. And now, doesn't matter that it didn't happen, I'll go to the next area and I'll put an effort in a new area. Okay, number seven. The seventh benefit of having bitachon, sha'amana kimiya yitachen shelo ya'aleh biyador lagia al mezono al yedei hakesef hazav shebrushuto, mepnei shelefamim lo yeh nimtza biiro ochel, shenemar, kaspam uzavam lo yuchol latilam biyom havarat Hashem nafsham velo yisbu umeihem lo yimaleu. That's in Yechezkel. There's another pasuk in Tzfanya. Vegam kaspam vegam zavam lo yuchol latilam. At the end of the day, not always the fact that you're rich is going to make you successful. Someone who's trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there won't be a situation where he's lacking. Someone who defines his self and his success by his wealth, he won't always be able to access his wealth. I heard a crazy story of a person who lived in America and owned buildings and buildings and buildings which were being rented out. And there was a recession and people stopped paying rent. They just couldn't pay rent. And he was going and putting up notices and signs and phoning and lawyers threats. And everyone was saying, we know, but we just don't have any money. And this guy didn't have food to feed his family. And he owned buildings and buildings and buildings. But he couldn't feed his family because the rent wasn't coming in and he had debts, but that money was supposed to go and pay other things. And then he had to pay the debts anyway. The money was going out of his bank account, but it wasn't coming in. And he had to go on a gemach. So someone could be very, very, very wealthy. But for some reason, there'll be a technical reason where he won't be able to access as well. See, the person's whole definition is, I trust in my money, I trust in my houses, I trust in what I have. Then when things go wrong, he's going to be shaken. Now, someone in that situation who had bitachon, doesn't mean he would have money suddenly. There's no guarantee that if you have bitachon, Hashem will automatically provide for you. But there is a guarantee that the fact that people can't pay rent temporarily won't shake you to your core. Won't make you angry, won't make you take it out on your family, take it out on your kids, take it out on them. You'll do the normal levels of ishtadlus of ensuring that you're safe, having security measures, and continue and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're putting me through a hard time right now. Give me the strength, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'll be able to remain faithful to you, like Elana Rosenblatt was, even in challenging times. So it might still be challenging, but there's no guarantee that because you've stored away money that you're going to get access to it. Someone's betachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking for a high-flying life the whole time. To say, Hashem, allow me to do whatever I need to do in the given situation because I recognize it's a test too. And therefore he's calm, even happy, maybe challenged, but still happy that he's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the challenge state. Someone who's given an extra challenge and he loves proving himself, then when he gets a bigger challenge, he's happy. Ah, why are you happy? You've got a bigger challenge. Yeah, I'm happy that I was able to prove myself despite this challenge. A person with bitachon, he doesn't ask to be tested. He never asks to be tested. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him a test, he's happy. Why? Because he likes proving himself. He likes saying to Hashem, Hashem, I'm not asking for tests. But if Hashem, you give me a test, thank you for giving me the opportunity to show how devoted and loyal I am to you, even I'm going through these hard things. Don't give me another one. I don't want tests. Don't give me another one. But if you give me Hashem, also give me the strength that I can overcome it. And he's happy when it happens. Because able to prove his devotion, his loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 10 points of how to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be continued.